Good morning. Last week, you probably saw me on the screen, and it's good to be off the wall and on the platform and to share with you this morning. Let's go to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13, please. Matthew 13. It's been said that if you don't follow the news, you're uninformed. And if you follow the news, you're misinformed. We live in a world of much misinformation and disinformation and fake news. So much falsehood, so many distorted messages. This world has become a rather confusing place. And the truth of what is going on is perhaps a little hard to come by. Well, in Matthew 13, we have seven stories that Christ told that unlock the true meaning of our age. And we have what is called the secrets of the kingdom. And it gives us a behind-the-scenes look at history to see what is really going on, not what shows up in the evening news. This is God's perspective. This is the real issues that are at play in the world at this present time. We could say this is history from the perspective and through the eyes of God. Now, we're all familiar with history as man sees it, and endless parades of empires and wars and events. But in these parables, we get history as God sees it, and we get his view of what is going on. So heaven's perspective on what is happening in this world called planet Earth. We're just going to look at the first one of these stories. Matthew 13, verse 1. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered to him, so he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. So this was a sermon from a boat, not from a pulpit. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." We have three great discourses that the Lord gives in the Gospel of Matthew. We have one at the beginning, known as the Sermon on the Mount. We have one at the end, also Sermon on the Mount, but it's the Mount of Olives. And in between, we have the Sermon by the Sea. And that's chapter 13, where Jesus tells these seven parables. The first sermon, we have the principles of the kingdom. In the last one, we have the prophecies of the kingdom. But in the middle one, we have the parables of the kingdom. The first and last were given on a mountain, but this one in the middle was by the seashore, on the Sea of Galilee. The Lord wasn't standing behind a pulpit. He was sitting and speaking from a fishing boat. And these parables tell us the mystery of the kingdom. And the word mystery in the New Testament is not a puzzle that we have to unravel. It's a truth that was previously hidden but now has come to light and has been revealed. So something that wasn't known before, but now it's been made open. And in these parables, we get some insight as to how God operates in our world, and he does so in surprising and unexpected ways, and we discover some of the mysteries, the secrets of God's kingdom. So this is not history as man sees it. This is history as God sees it. It's not what's reported on the news. This is reality from God's viewpoint and heaven's perspective on what's going on in this world. And the first story is recorded in the other Gospels, at least the three first Gospels. And as a matter of fact, Jesus said in Mark, "Do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the other ones?" It seems that this is a key parable, a crucial parable to understanding what the other ones are all about. And it's about a farmer. And he walks from one side of his field to the other, and he's throwing seed in every direction. And the seed lands in four different situations, some on the road, some on rocky ground, some among thorns, and some on good ground. And only the last ground is where the seed is able to germinate and grow, and there a remarkable harvest takes place. So what's going on in our world? Let me suggest three things that we can pull out of this parable. A worldwide agricultural project has been undertaken. A worldwide agricultural project is going on. And the kingdom does not come like an invading army. It comes as a tiny seed. It's not what we expected. The king does not show up like a mighty warrior. He shows up as a farmer, and he looks every bit like a farmer, but don't be fooled. This is the king. This is the king. And he has chosen this planet to do some farming, and he is scattering supernatural seed into the hearts of men and women everywhere. We are told in Luke 8, verse 11, that the seed is the word of God. And every human heart is a potential plot where this seed can fall and sprout and grow. And heavenly seed is being sown into human hearts. You have to realize that this seed is unlike any other seed. Every religious system in the world was born in the mind of some human being. The seed of the gospel is totally different. It came from outside the system. It did not originate in the mind of some human being. It has a heavenly origin, and it was born in the heart of God. Every human being is like an unproductive, barren piece of land, and without this seed, there's nothing but rocks and thorns and barrenness. But when this seed comes, new life can spring forth. This seed is life-changing. Peter talked about it in his first letter, and he said this, "Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God." And he mentions three things about this seed. It's imperishable. It's indestructible. It's living. It throbs with divine life. And it's enduring. It will last forever. And this remarkable seed imparts eternal life to those who receive it. And it frees people from the kingdom of darkness, and it brings them into the kingdom of God, into the kingdom of light. It brings people into harmony with the purposes of heaven. And when this seed takes root, good things happen. Nothing like this seed has ever been sown in the world before. It's a wonderful, amazing, powerful seed sent from heaven that we call the gospel, the good news. Now, seeds are very unpretentious little things. They look like a piece of nothing and looks very insignificant, but don't be fooled. There's more than what meets the eye. A seed may look insignificant, but it is, in fact, very powerful. When you drop one of those little things into the ground, something massive happens, something ridiculously disproportionate to the original size of the seed. It's been said that anyone can count the number of seeds in an apple, but only God can count the number of apples in a seed. How many apples are in one seed? We can never count them all, could we? Well, the kingdom is very much like a seed, says the Lord. It doesn't look like much, but when it finally gets around to doing what seeds do, there will be a multitude worshiping God from every tribe and tongue and people and nation on the face of the globe. Seeds may be very small in size, but their potential is huge. Since the time of Christ, the seed of the gospel has been sown quietly and scattered in every direction. It has fallen into human hearts all over the globe. And wherever it goes, remarkable things take place. And often in very surprising ways, unexpected. Here's an example. Molly G was a university student in China, studying at the university. And one day the professor said, we are going to learn about American culture. And today we will talk about American religion. The religion of America is Christianity. Although some people think that everyone in America must be a Christian, which is not the case. But this professor was explaining this. He said, American religion, Christianity, teaches that Jesus is God in human flesh, and although he was innocent, he died on a cross to take away the sins of the world. He resurrected from the dead, and everyone who believes in him, according to Christianity, can be forgiven and can have a relationship with God on this earth, and one day when they die, they will be with God in heaven. And just like that, like reading from a textbook, the professor was explaining Christianity, and Molly sat in the classroom listening, and she suddenly realized that what this atheist professor was saying was true, and she knew that Jesus was real, and she wanted to know him and wanted to have a relationship with him. She understood that he had died for her and loved her, and right there in the classroom, she put her head down on her desk and she prayed and asked Christ to come into her life and became a believer. Later on, went to the United States to study more about the Bible. This seed is amazing. It's powerful. And even people that don't even believe in it can talk about it, and it ends up producing fruit in human hearts. It seems one thing we can learn from this story that it doesn't depend so much on the skill of the evangelist. This evangelist didn't even believe. He did not believe in God. The secret is in the seed. It's in the seed, and it's the power of God unto salvation. Just the other day, I was speaking with a brother who lives in Lima, Peru. We got to know him because he was in prison in Bolivia for many years. He used to work with the mafia in Italy. He was a professional assassin. He would travel all over Europe with jobs to do his deadly work and would make a lot of money. He ended up falling into prison under drug charges in Bolivia, And his plan was to poison the prisoners and kill them all. He was a pretty scary fellow. There was a brother who was going to the prison to tell people about the Lord and to share the gospel. And someone said, don't even waste your time with this fellow. He's a lost cause. Don't even bother talking to him. He didn't pay attention and went and spoke to Ronald. And later Ronald told us, he said that what he said, there's something he said that went right to my heart. He told me that Jesus loved me. And he turned his life over to the Lord. He spent the whole night confessing all his sins and crimes that he had done. And his life was turned around. Ronald has what seems to be a photographic memory. I used to have one of those, but I ran out of film. And when you talk to him, verses from the Bible just kind of poured out of him. And we had the joy of visiting him and then seeing him return to his country, and he's now with his wife and walking with the Lord and continuing to serve him. The power of the gospel that takes people who are in such a sad state of affairs, you know, have hit the bottom, and yet here's a powerful seed that can transform lives. God's good seed continues to be broadcasted and scattered and continues to fall into human hearts in many places. And what God is doing in history is intimately related to the seed. As a matter of fact, it's not only the theme of the first parable, it's the theme of the second parable, and it's the theme of the third parable. God's program in history centers in the seed. So we have this worldwide agricultural project going on. Here's the second thing. An aggressive sabotage operation is also going on. The parable pays a lot of attention to these forces that are seeking to obstruct the seed and choke faith. There's strong opposition to the seed that comes into play, and the parable identifies several factors that seek to hinder the seed. There are hard places that exclude it. There are birds that devour it. There are stones that hinder it. There are thorns that choke it. And there's the sun that scorches it. There are powerful forces at work that seek to hinder and to oppose the seed. And we even see this in the next parable. We have an enemy sowing phony seed. It's not the real thing. Now, he's doing all he can to stop this seed from doing what it's sent to do, to stop this seed from taking hold in human hearts. He fights the seed. Why? Because the only real threat to his kingdom comes from this seed. Nothing else can set people free. Nothing else can liberate people from the domain of darkness. So the enemy opposes the seed, and he does all that he can to stop it from taking root in human hearts. So this makes the task a little more challenging. This is an aggressive sabotage operation going on. This is not just about farming. This is warfare. This is spiritual warfare. The enemy hardens people's hearts through sin. He confuses them with false and phony narratives. He poisons their minds with lies, and he fills their lives with rocks and thorns so that the seed cannot get in. Folks, this is not just farming, it's also warfare, and there's a battle going on for the hearts and minds of men and women. That's the world in which we live. You will notice in this parable that some seed falls on the roadside, and there are birds that come and carry it away. We're told in verse 4 that the birds represent demonic powers. The enemy understands the power of the word, and he's out to devour the seed and to take it away. However, in nature, we know that this does not always put an end to the operation of the seed. The seed that is swallowed by birds often passes through the digestive tract unharmed and then is deposited elsewhere. Isn't that the case? And instead of destroying the seed, the bird ends up delivering the seed to new locations. That's one of nature's ways of spreading seeds around, right? And causing them to grow in other places. Well, the devil's attempt to stop the seed often serves to scatter the seed. That's what happened in the early church, isn't it? When persecution broke out in Jerusalem, where the church had been born, people were scattered all over the place, and it says that those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word, taking the seed. And the plan backfired, and God's seed was scattered to the four winds. I can remember hearing a story of Professor John Lennox, mathematics professor and a very able defender of the Christian faith, that during the years of the Soviet Union, he would often go to Russia to teach at universities. On one occasion in Siberia, he was surprised to meet a professor, a Russian man, who was a believer in Christ. And he said, "They don't allow Bibles here. How did you come to know and hear about the gospel?" He said, "Well, the Soviet Union publishes material against Christianity, seeks to refute Christianity. And in those materials, they quote verses from the Bible, trying to point out that they're not true. Well, I cut out a whole bunch of those verses from these materials and started reading those verses from the Bible, and he becomes a believer." God even uses the wrath of man to praise him. The seed is unstoppable. It's unstoppable. And for many years, I visited villages in an area south of the city where we lived along the Toropalca River. And there's a whole lot of communities all along, Pancochi, Huitavi, Saropalca, Calila, and all these villages. One of them, Villanueva, everybody is a believer in that town. The whole community has come to faith, and many other villages have majority are believers, Christ followers. A dear friend, Julian Cayo, who phones me every once in a while saying, "When are you going to come and visit us again?" He lives in Calila, and he told me the story of how the gospel came to his community. Well, he and another gentleman, they were not believers, they went to Argentina to work. They heard the gospel, became Christians, came back to their village, only two believers in the village, and they were not welcome. People were very opposed, and they were criticized. Stones would rain down on their roof as people threw rocks at their homes. And finally, one of the leaders in the community said, "You know, you guys don't belong here. You belong somewhere else, and I'm going to go to the city, bring authorities, and we're going to deport you, and you can go where people have this belief that you have, because we don't want this here." So this gentleman took off in his Jeep with his wife. He lost control of his vehicle on one curve, and his Jeep flipped over, and the man was killed. His wife ended up in the hospital. When the news reached the village, the fear of God fell on that place, and nobody spoke against these two believers anymore. And now about 70% of that village has come to faith. An accident somehow caused people to rethink their attitudes, and things turned around. A worldwide agricultural project is being carried out. An aggressive sabotage operation is happening. And here's the last thing we see in this parable. A remarkable harvest is being gathered in. Now, an average yield for a farmer back then would be maybe tenfold. A return of 30 or 60-fold, that would be a bumper crop. 100-fold, that was astonishing. In spite of the opposition, God's seed keeps getting through into human hearts. And all over the place, the seed gets in and new life springs forth. And you and I have not only had the privilege of hearing and receiving, but even of scattering that seed as well. We often hear that we are in a post-Christian age and that the church is in decline. That may be true as a cultural phenomenon. Christianity has ceased to be the core idea at the heart of Western culture. But if we're talking about Christ followers, the truth is that there are more Christians in the world today than at any other time of history. Most of them are in the Southern Hemisphere now. Before, the gospel went from north to south, and now it's coming the other way. On a global scale, Christianity is booming, and explosive growth is taking place in China. Actually, in a few years' time, China will have more Christ followers than any other country in the world. There are probably over 100 million already in China. Southern Asia, Africa, Latin America, a remarkable harvest is taking place. The seed is unstoppable. It will not be thwarted. The gates of hell may do what they may, but the seed continues to bear fruit all over the world. And the harvest is abundant. There was a Canadian missionary that worked in a village south of where we lived, a little town called Vitichi. She was a nurse. And a gentleman that lived in another town called Yawisla got sick, and he went to Vitichi to get some medical help, and Doña Margarita, is how they called her, attended to him and shared the gospel with him. He got better and he got saved. He became a believer, and for about 2 weeks he was learning more about the Bible. He then went back to his village, Yawisla, started sharing his faith, and pretty soon there was a group of Christians in that community. And he said, you know, we're the only village in this area where there are Christians. We need to share the gospel. And they began to go out two by two to visit other villages in the area. There are now 20 more churches in that area. And I don't know if Doña Margarita ever found out what happened with that seed she planted in one man's heart that eventually got scattered all over the place. And quite a few people came to faith as a result. Stephen Hawthorne, a missionary friend who's the nephew of Jim Elliott, who died in Ecuador, told me that story. He lived and worked in Yawisla for some time. The Sunday before leaving Bolivia in the month of November, we received a visit in our apartment from a brother named Alvaro. He's a military officer. And it was great to see him. He had gotten into trouble, ended up in prison years before, where he had lived previously. My wife went to visit him. And Wendy is involved, as some of you know, in a prison ministry. And this guy was about 25 years old, young military officer, and there had been a situation where he was accused of killing a boy with a firearm. It seems that it was an accident, but there he was in prison. And when Wendy went to talk to him about God, he threw himself into her arms and he said, now I know there's a God because I was about to take my life before you came in. And she shared with him, prayed with him, and left her Bible with him, encouraged him to read the Bible. When she went back a week later, he said, you know, if everybody read this book, the world would be a different place. And God began to speak to him through the Bible. He began to share the Bible with another prisoner who was wanting to get out of prison and kill the person that had put him into prison. Well, God worked in his life as well. Years went by. We ended up moving to the capital, La Paz. And one day, Wendy was on her way home, and there's a big event taking place. And the president of the country was there, a military band and a huge crowd, and there were speeches and and she listened for a while and then continued walking home and suddenly heard somebody shouting her name and turned around, and here was a military officer running towards her. And when he caught up to her, she recognized him as the same fellow she had given her Bible to. Was that 15 years before? 13 years before? About that time before. And there he was, and he said, "You know what, I'm still reading the Bible." And he asked where she fellowshipped, and it was wonderful to see him again and that he was continuing to walk with the Lord. Well, some years went by, and just, in November, he came to see us again. He used to be the man in charge of the security team for the president of the country. Had 160 men under his orders, and they would travel everywhere the president went, providing security. Then the government changed. He lost that job and got sent to some corner of the country way in the north in an Amazon tropical jungle area. Came down with COVID, came down with cancer. Poor fellow has been going through a very difficult time, but he visited us. Still trusting the Lord. He's had to leave his military career because of illness, but he continues to walk with God. The amazing power of the seed, when it falls into hearts, it changes a person's life. It changes the direction of their life, and good things take place. Well, 3 days before we traveled home in November, another ex-prisoner visited us and told his story. Now, this fellow was the most feared man in the prison. He was an assassin, sicario, as they call them, and had been trained to use arms as a boy. Ended up in prison with several long sentences, and a very scary fellow. You wouldn't want to tangle with him, and they usually kept him in an isolated cell because he was trouble if he got with other people. Well, he's now out of prison. He's got four beautiful children, and he's walking with the Lord. People that see him now cannot believe he's the same guy they once knew, who was the terror of the prison. But God has done this amazing. Well, actually, let me just tell you, when Wendy was first praying for him and visiting him, one morning she read in Proverbs verses that said, "Don't go with violent men to do the things that they do," and verses of that nature, and she thought, these verses are for Damien. And so she phoned the prison, "Can I speak to Damien?" "Yes, call back in 10 minutes and we'll call him." And 10 minutes later, he came to the phone. She read the verses from Proverbs, silence on the other end. And then he said, "Hermana Wendy, when they called me to the phone, I just pulled out a knife and I was about to kill somebody. And now you read these verses to me. Okay, I'm not going to do that. And I think God is telling me something." I don't know whose life got saved that day. But that's who this fellow was. Very scary individual. Lots of stories. Many years of working with him. I would have given up. My wife somehow had this remarkable burden for him. Well, he's now out and struggling, but walking with God. Well, just November, he told us another story that we hadn't heard before. Where do I start? When he had been in prison, in a previous prison, there had been a group of guys that wanted to poison him and kill him. They were unsuccessful. So he came to the San Pedro prison, and then those three guys were also transferred to a unit right by where he was, and he thought, "I'm going to kill those guys. They wanted to kill me. I'm going to kill them." Now, the guard was kind of on friendly terms with Damien and turned a blind eye as he decided to break through to where these fellows were and to finish them off. Well, he had in his pocket a Bible that Wendy had given him, a small pocket Bible. And there he was, breaking through a couple of barriers to get to the area where these three fellows were prisoner. His plan was to kill them. And then when he got to where the cell was, the guys in the cell looked out, and they heard him, and he was shouting and telling, "I'm coming for you. I'm going to kill every one of you." And they knew he meant business. Well, one of them said, "Is that a Bible you have in your pocket?" And he said, "Yeah." And it suddenly dawned on him that what he was doing didn't really go along with the Bible. And the fellow in the shell said, "Would you give me your Bible?" I don't know why. Perhaps he thought it had some magical power or something. And Damien said, "Okay, I'll give you my Bible on one condition. I want to hear you read it out loud and don't stop or I'm going to come back and kill you." Well, they had a Bible study. They started reading the Bible out loud, one by one, all day long, as if their life depended on it, because it did. And he kept on telling him, "I want to hear you read, don't stop or I'm coming back for you." Well, these guys started reading the Bible every day. And all the other prisoners would be hearing this Bible reading going on as they did a nonstop Bible study. Well, their lives were spared, and these three were sent to another prison where they had set up a very high security unit, and they sent the 30 worst prisoners in the country to this unit, and they took the Bible with them. Let me tell you another story that connects with this. Now, sometime before, there had been a serial killer. He claimed to have killed 35 people. They caught him, put him in prison. He escaped. They got him again, and they sent him to the prison where Wendy often visits. And one day there, a brother named Jose Pedro said, "Will you come and talk to this guy?" So the three of them met in a prison cell, and Wendy shared the good news with him, sowed God's good, powerful seed into his heart, and told him about Christ, who loved him and died for him and could forgive him. He listened very attentively, and when Wendy prayed at the end, she finished, and there were tears running down his face. And he committed his life to the Lord shortly after. And then he was sent, along with these 30 criminals, to this unit in the city of Santa Cruz. So he went there. These other three guys took their Bible and went there. We just heard part of this story recently. Well, about a year after this serial killer had been sent, we had gone to Santa Cruz, and Wendy always visits the prison wherever we go. So she went to see this fellow. She thought, I'll encourage him in his faith. I'll share from the word, wondering how he was doing. And everything she quoted from scripture, he would come back with other verses from the Bible. And it was amazing. And it was evident that he was growing and nurturing his faith in the word. That was encouraging. After another year, we went back again. And once again, she visited him. She said, "You know what? There's 30 of us here. They named me pastor of the group. We did set up a chapel time, and we're reading a Bible, and I'm sharing about the Bible, and 29 of them have now come to faith in Christ." And the guy who had been killing people before now was leading them to the Lord. What we didn't know was where that Bible came from, and we just found out. That was the Bible that Damien had in his pocket, gave to these three guys, told them to read it or he would kill them. That Bible ended up going to Santa Cruz, and this other fellow had gone there, and now they were reading the Bible every day, and most of them had come to faith. The amazing power of the seed. It's unstoppable, and you never know where it's going to sprout and how it's going to bring fruit and what it's going to do. This seed was sent from heaven. It's a heaven-sent, powerful seed that sets captives free. It breaks the chains of sin. It takes people from darkness into light. It turns criminals into Christ followers. And that day when Daniel gave his Bible, he had no idea what God was going to do through that. Folks, let's keep on scattering the seed and telling people about a God who loves them and about a Christ who died for them. And we have no idea how God may work and what he's going to do. Dwight Moody was a famous evangelist some years ago. And on one occasion, preaching in the open air, he was challenged by an atheist who challenged him to a public debate. Moody was not an intellectual fellow, but he was full of God's Spirit and a lot of wisdom. And he said, I accept your challenge on one condition. You bring 10 people whose lives have been changed for good by atheism, and I'll bring 100 people whose lives have been changed by the gospel. It's no surprise the man never showed up. He's probably still looking for those 10 people. This parable describes the most significant thing that is happening in history. Against all odds, the seed will ultimately triumph, and around the throne of God, there will be a multitude gathered from every tongue and tribe and people and nation, and the seed will have done its work. It's interesting to notice in this parable that the seed was scattered in every direction. It was not just thrown on good soil, but among rocks and thorns, and even on the road. It goes all over the place, lavishly. Doesn't sound like a good way to run a farm, does it? But in this story, the seed goes everywhere. What does that tell us? Well, that's the message of John 3:16, isn't it? For God so loved the world. Every person is loved by God. His offer of grace is for everyone. No one is excluded. The good news of life and forgiveness and hope is for you. And if you will trust in the Lord, he is ready and willing to come into your life if you will open the door and let him in. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful transforming power of the seed, the word of God, the gospel, the good news. Thank you that one day it came to our ears and to our hearts. May we continue to scatter it. And any present today that need to receive it into their hearts and trust in this Christ who came to be Savior, may they take that step. Bless your word to each heart today, we ask. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.